Jazz, 92.9 WCOK, Atlantis Jazz Station. Music coming from Miss Layla Hathaway and Small of My Back, one of my favorites off of that record. One of my favorites of the past few years, actually. What a stepper's tune right there. And I am so honored right now to have the incomparable. She really is like one of the great vocalists of our generation, Miss Layla Hathaway. It's an honor. How are you
Thank
doing,
you.
Layla?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to see you again.
You too.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. Grammy Award winning.
Ha ha! Don't forget that part.
You know, it's like you went and got your PhD.
Well, I have yet to see the Grammy yet. Hopefully, it's waiting for me when I get home.
Really? You haven't seen it yet?
You know, it takes. They got to engrave it, and the guy makes it, and they got to drive it somewhere in the truck. I don't know.
So that's a prototype that y'all were holding at.
Absolutely.
The,
they snatch it right back after every photo.
Like no. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a long time coming, and I remember seeing that and. I can't express how thankful I was for that moment for you and for Snarky. But I want to talk about you right now. How's everything been? Because I just saw that you came back from the International Jazz Day out there in Osaka, Japan,
which was incredible.
Yeah,
actual jazz. Because you know, normally I do these sort of jazz festivals, and it'll be like me and
Uncle Charlie,
Patti LaBelle, and you know, people that I love, but that are not necessarily jazz.
Jazz, right, but, right, right.
But, you know, I got to spend the weekend with Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock and John Scofield and Kenny Garrett and Terry Lynn Carrington and Pete Escovedo and Steve Turay and Roy Hargrove. So Esperanza Spalding. So that was Dee Dee Bridgewater.
Right.
So that was a good jazz weekend for me. It was a great show.
Really?
It's on demand on YouTube.
Really? You can see that still. So talk about jazz, because, you know, one thing I've noticed about you, Layla Hathaway, is, you know, as a singer, you're really like the musician singer. I don't know if I can phrase that right, but musicians always gravitate towards you. I remember seeing you with Marcus Miller for the very first time back in about 1997. And I said, wow, she can do almost anything. I mean, you were doing like these Eastern things with your voice. You were just giving them some straight gut bucket blues. You were giving them the soul. I talk about jazz and how important jazz is in what you do as
a
singer.
It's important to me. It's definitely a part of my foundation, which is rhythm and blues music, soul music, jazz music. All of that springs from the same well for me.
Mm-hmm.
But jazz in particular is my thinking music. I can't explain it any better than that. People tried to get us to sort of define the meaning of jazz, and it's really a spirit. It's really like asking somebody really what is the taste of coffee. Like, you can't compare it to anything else. You have to tell people to just taste it. So
right.
Jazz is that for me. It's that thing which is the underlying foundation of where I come from, which is improvisation, which is the gospel and the blues of all of it. But with that extra layer of improvisation, which I can't really define other than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I've been working on it all weekend just because of International Jazz Day. But when I hear that music and when I perform that music or when I perform any music in that style, it requires a different sort of vibration from me.
Right, right. And, you know, when I first saw you, because I saw you, I think the last time you were here, what was that, 2-3 years ago?
I think so.
Over at Variety Playhouse or something, where you did the two shows in one night.
Right.
And I've, you know, I saw you with Marcus Miller, and I've seen you kind of with Joe Sample and a few other folk, but I've never seen a Layla Hathaway show, you know, and I've been a fan since... You know, Baby Don't Cry, when those who were those guys that were dancing in that video?
I forget those. They're very famous.
Yeah, they were like guys from Brooklyn or something, but I was always impersonating them in the video. But I've been a fan since then. But when I saw the show, it was incredible because it was almost like a clinic. It was entertainment, but it was like I walked away, and I'm not even trying to be a great singer, but I said, I think I can sing now, at least.
That's good. That's a great thing. And I try to cram as much of my experience into the show as possible.
Mm.
So, and there's so many pieces. There's so many facets of, you know, just the Marcus Miller stuff, the Joe Sample stuff, the Take Six stuff, the, you know, my stuff. There's just so many little pieces of my career to integrate into 1 hour, hour and a half show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of hard to, and you got so many babies too, you know, and I'm talking about your records and your tunes. I mean, because I was just listening to one record in particular that was written by a good friend of mine who sadly passed away. Raymond Jones wrote, Do You Suppose?
Do You Suppose? Great tune.
Great, great tune.
Raymond Jones and Lori Perry.
Yes, of the Perry
and
sisters.
And Sammy McKinney.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Didn't know all of them were involved. And who is, I don't know.
Sammy McKinney, also not here with us any longer. Great songwriter. I actually met him through Patti LaBelle. He did some songwriting for her as well. But those songs, Do You Suppose and Better as a Memory, were two of my favorite songs off that record.
Yes, yes, yes. And I want to ask you, because, you know, when I ask an artist, you know, what's your favorite? And they say, well, they're all my babies.
I really don't have a favorite. I don't have a favorite color. I don't have a favorite flavor. I don't really have a favorite. It's like asking which of your fingers is your favorite.
Right, right, right. You could say, hey, maybe my thumb, you know.
It depends on the day. You go through it. You go through it.
Yeah, but I mean, when I listened to some of those classic records of yours, you had a lot of tunes that really weren't, you know, big radio hits, but they were just really great tunes that stood the test of time. And I remember when I first heard the updated rendition of Something. And that was actually, I did not know that was actually an old song from back in the day. Who did that originally?
The original song was written by Brenda Russell and David Foster.
Got you.
And Brenda recorded it for like a record in 1983.
Mm.
And then I recorded it for my first record in 1990. So from the very beginning, I was doing these covers. Heaven Knows is a cover. Jackie McGee recorded it. It was a hit in the UK before I recorded it.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the records I've am associated with are covers.
Mm. But you do a great interpretation. It's like you Laylalize them.
Yeah, I like to do that.
You like to Laylalize them?
Absolutely.
And you did that with Something. And I remember hearing that. I remember Mike Lee gave me the record, and he says, you know, tell me what you think about it. And I heard the whole record, and I love that original tune. But it was really seeing the video that made me say, okay, Layla Hathaway is an alien, because she what she just did with this particular record is awe-inspiring. You can't really put your finger on what you did on that record. How did that whole thing come about? How did that come about with collaborating with Snarky Puppy?
I know Sput, who is the drummer for Snarky Puppy, whom I know actually as a keyboard player and I've known for years, and he kept saying, you got to come sit in with my band. And so it just really worked out. It was just a divine intervention. It wasn't anything that was on my radar previously. And, you know, he said, we're going to do this thing with singers. We do everything on video. Bring something that you sung before, that you wrote. And he actually put that arrangement together.
Mm.
And so it just worked out.
So, I mean, you know, when you look at artists and the lives of artists, a lot of things happen by happenstance.
Absolutely.
Nothing is really planned. But could you ever conceive that all of that came out of that, will come out of that moment of saying, yes, I'll do that record with you guys?
No, I think, you know, I just try to do what I like.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of features. I do a lot of guesting. I'm on a whole lot of records, and people always come up and say, I got every record you're on. And I feel like, no, you don't. There's records that came out in Japan in 1987 that you know nothing about.
Wow.
But I just try to be involved with things that I think are going to grow me musically.
Right, right. And I mean, that was something that, I mean, pun intended, that was something that, you know, none of us saw coming, you know, the Grammy. I mean, I knew there was a great tune, and when everyone just was going, I saw it go viral.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody said, what is she doing? This, what was that? What was that? What do you call that?
I don't know. I don't call it anything. I've been doing it since the 80s, and it's not anything. I mean, I do it occasionally live just because it's kind of a cool thing.
Uh-huh.
But I never did it on record because I felt like it would be too easy to manipulate it on record, like with auto-tune and with chorusing and effects and all of that. So I never do it on record.
Right.
It just so happened that we were there and it was live and it happened. And in that moment, it happens four times. And the first two don't really work well. And then the next one worked well. And then that last one, what you see is me figuring out right in that moment, like, oh, I can manipulate it over the changes. So literally in that moment, I'm growing with that thing and learning how to use that thing.
That's I can't even say it. We're done with this interview. It's over. Okay. Bye, Layla. Good day. You have a good show tomorrow. Okay.
Oh.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, let's talk about your live experience because you're in town, of course, for our big show presented by the CAU Guild, Jazz Under the Stars. And you're very blessed because it's going to be beautiful weather. Literally, I saw the forecast, not a cloud in the sky for Saturday and Sunday. So
Beautiful. You're
blessed with that. But talk about the live experience of Layla Hathaway, because I can't describe it.
You can't?
I can't.
You know, I'm getting ready to do a live record, and I'm so excited about it. And, you know, I have been discouraged kind of over the years about recording a live record because the radio doesn't necessarily play it. And, you know, But I'm so excited about it. And I really grew up listening to Donny Hathaway live and wondering, what is it like? What must that be like for the people? I could hear them communicating with him and talking to him and going through these changes, which I never could see, but I could hear. And now when I play live, I feel that. I feel the audience. I feel all the people and making eye contact with people and being able to ring them out at moments. It's what you said. It's an experience. It's kind of becoming a lost art. Not a lot of current acts really will tour for the next 30 years. You know what I mean? So it's important to me to provide the experience for people to see and hear it and feel it, you know?
That was deep what you just said. Why don't you think they'll be around for another 30 years?
Well, it's not that I think they won't. And God bless everyone. Right. You know what I mean? I just don't hear anything that I want to hear next week. I don't hear anything really on popular radio that in 6 months I'll think, oh, how will they change that arrangement? I don't hear arrangements.
Yeah.
I don't hear instruments made of wooden string on the radio.
You know? And I mean, like something, you know, that tune, you recorded that a quarter of a century ago.
Yeah.
And it,
good
it was,
grief.
Did I just put
when
things
I was
in perspective?
Two? What?
You sound like a grown lady.
Wow. Yeah.
But I mean, a quarter of a century ago, and look at it now. I think that kind of just, you know, Quincy Jones said something in that seat back in 1995. He said, you know, the music industry and the film industry can be boiled down to two things, a song and a story.
That's right.
And when you look at it, I mean, the songs are the things that really stand the test of time. Have you been writing anything?
I have a little bit. I've had this weird kind of writer's block for like the last 5 years. And I go in and out of it, but I'm ready to actually sit down and really stop censoring myself. I'm a huge censor. You know, I'm like the FCC. I'm my own self.
Yeah, your personal FCC. That's funny.
Yeah.
So you got some things bubbling. But
absolutely. But okay. I really do want to deliver what is tantamount to like a best of record, which is a live record. And I think a lot of times people put out best of records and they have three records. And I think that is crazy. You only have 18 songs. What do you, how do you do that? But I have, you know, I have six records, studio records. I'm on at least 100 other records. So
wow. That's
I feel
insane.
Like I can do it.
So, you know, going back to your father, Donny Hathaway, I mean, when you look at the album Donny Hathaway Live recorded, was that 1972, 73?
Yeah.
Just absolutely one of the greatest live records for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One thing in particular is that audience. That audience is really like his background crew.
They're like the other dimension of the music.
Right.
They're like another band member.
Yeah, exactly. But then they're reacting to this energy that he's putting out,
absolutely.
Which is absolutely some of the most intense soul energy you will ever experience live.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from your father when translating, you know, that whole live thing to an audience properly?
Mm.
Because when I listened to, I think it was a concert he did in Houston. That was recorded, in the middle to late 70s, maybe, in performance. I think that was the record. And just some of those things are, it's almost hard to listen to them because it's so real.
Yeah. I think that's why people really will relate to him until the end of time, is because people understand pain.
Mm.
We understand happy, too, and we love happy, but people really relate to the blues. No matter how many songs you sing in a show, when you get to that ballad where you can ring people out, that's really where people settle back in the chair, like, okay, let's go.
Right, right.
So in terms of the live experience, it's an evolution, and I'm still learning it and still doing it and still processing it. But really it's the interpretation of that which is real and providing that beautiful vehicle to tell that story.
Mm.
Like his tone and sound is unmatched. It just took you away. And with that story, it's a hard thing to describe, and it almost limits it when you start trying to put it into words. But to try to transport people is what I do, is try to take them into a completely different space, whether they need to laugh or cry. And I used to hear, you know, people crying at shows, and it would make me uncomfortable. I couldn't figure out why. Even on the fast tunes, sometimes people are crying. Mm. And I understand which they just relate to that story and they relate to that pain in my voice. I get that now. And so it's been an evolution for me to try to figure out what's the best way to communicate honestly and truthfully, and what's the best tone I can provide with my body to vibrate that to people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I was at your last show, and I was actually sitting next to a radio friend of mine, Joyce Littell, and we were in its place. You were singing a song, I can't remember in particular, but there was a point where you just saw a whole row. Everyone just kind of doing this rock. Everyone's doing the church rock because we're feeling this energy. And she was two steps from taking off her shoe and throwing it at you. I had to stop her because she said, this woman is unreal. But, you know, going back to your father, I want to ask you about his song This Christmas. Mm. Because I noticed last year some folk were really trying to rally to get you and your father to do something. What was happening with that?
I don't know.
I remember. I think like they were trying to. You know how you had Natalie Cole and uh-huh. and Nat King Cole doing the duet. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm imagining all this, but
I always thought that
maybe it's just a dream of mine to actually see you and your father performing this, kind of like a. You
or
know,
hear
like,
it.
Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like do something, you know, modern with that.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. When I make a Christmas record, I'll absolutely cover it.
Mm-hmm.
CeeLo covered it in the last couple of years and actually used the actual tracks.
Oh, really?
Which was weird and kind of cool. I mean, it made it more real because you actually hear the music.
Right.
But somebody does that song every year. People remake that song every year. It's just, again, a testament to a good song.
Yeah.
I don't really have any desire to do what Natalie Cole did. She already did that.
Right, right.
And I feel like every time I open my mouth to sing, there's a tribute to my father.
Yes.
You know, so I don't feel the need to copy what someone else did as a tribute.
Right, right, right. Well, it's just a, you know, I always have these,
I know,
you know, interesting ideas popping up.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, you know, I wish you all the success and,
thank you so
and,
much.
And beauty in the world. And this new record that you're working on, when can we kind of see
something? I don't
know.
Hopefully before the end of the year.
Okay.
I'm about to go into real Rihanna mode. I'm about to start making a record every 6 months.
Oh, you should.
Yes, because clearly I'm on the leap year schedule making records.
Yeah, where it all begins came out when? Like two, three years ago?
2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still there.
Thank
though.
You. I love that record. I'm very proud of it.
I mean, you know, I just played Small on My Back. And I mean, to this day, you know.
It's a good one.
That's the one right there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you play that in Chicago and the dance floor is packed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That record did what I wanted to do, which was present a more rhythmic and more bright sound,
right.
A more contemporary sound.
Yeah, along with the, was it Diva Geek? You did
mm-hmm.
something with Diva
Shine.
Geek. Shine.
Absolutely.
Kind of in that same vein.
Yes.
A little bit more up-tempo, actually.
Yeah, we did a whole EP. I think I'm going to have some of that stuff for my next record.
Okay.
They're really talented.
No, I like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like them a lot. Well, of course, you're doing your thing. I think some tickets are still available for the show tomorrow. How are we looking for the
are
show?
Are tickets
tomorrow?
Available?
You know, is it a straight sellout?
Is it sold out?
Oh, it's done. It's done.
Thank you, Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta is showing Layla. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Me neither. I love it here. This is absolutely one of my favorite places to play in terms of, you know, people coming out and supporting and just being vocal and really being present at the shows.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Right, right. Well, Layla Hathaway, can we get into the one that everybody knows now? That
which that one is that?
Let me think about that for a second. Better as a memory?
Not that one. Mm-mm.
Smile?
Those are deep cuts.
Yes, yes. Smile. No, Smile. Ooh, if I could play Smile right now,
that's a good song.
That's a great song. Someone in Atlanta is actually remaking that with Shante Khan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
She's
so,
wonderful.
Yeah,
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, she's absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what I'm about to play, Layla. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank
and
you.
God willing, we will see you tomorrow, Layla.
I appreciate it. You must be the only station playing this whole version of the song.
Oh, well, you know, I was the first one. So.
I appreciate it. We appreciate you.
Take care, Layla Hathaway.
Thank you.